All right. Well, the last few weeks before my circuit tour there, I was talking about giving, and I tried to emphasize to you that giving is not always a thing about money. Yeah, money is included in giving, and it's very difficult as a grace preacher when things are on a charitable level to speak about giving. And really, in all honesty, a lot of you listen not just to me, but you listen to the other grace preachers. And I would ask you to search in your minds, go back and recollect on when was the last time you heard preaching on giving. We don't do it very often or very much. But at the same time, there's a responsibility in all of us that are saved that we are held accountable to give. And yes, it is money. It's that collection plate back there, but it goes much broader than that. And the purpose of this can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So turn there and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, y'all there? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Man, y'all are gullible. I got an oceanfront property. No, I won't go there. All right, verse 10. Let's see what Paul's writing here to the Corinthians. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people that will take verse 11 and say, well, there are other foundations concerning Jesus Christ that were laid. But if you take the context of what he's talking about here, you've got to connect verse 10 to verse 11. Back in verse 10, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Who laid the foundation? Paul laid the foundation. What is that foundation? Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Then if there's other foundations, and there are, then it's something else than what Paul laid. So, in having this foundation, which has to do with the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and raised again the third day. That's our foundation. That's what we stand upon here at this church, is that believing that Christ died for all our sins, was buried, and raised again the third day. And when we do that, we're all placed on that foundation. And by the way, Paul said, that's a foundation that standeth sure. You're not going to fall off of it. You don't lose your salvation. You're on a sure foundation. Once we're on that foundation, though, he goes and addresses something. Well, before I go there, let's look at verse 10 again. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, we have a few guys in here that are very familiar with construction. I'm not. I don't understand. But I do understand a couple of things. I know this. If you have two builders on a project and you're constructing any type of building, you can't have one builder over there going by a metric system and the other builder going by feet and inches. Because if you're measuring out boards and cutting them, metric versus the other standard, U.S. standard, you're not going to be able to build on that. So the wise master builder, what is a master builder? It's an architect. He has drawn up the blueprints to build on this foundation. Well, who is the master builder? Paul's the master builder. So then you go by Paul's doctrine to build upon it. And he cautions you, take heed. And there aren't many people anymore taking heed on this. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Hold this. We're going to come back. Turn to Revelation. Go to Revelation 19. If you don't know where Revelation is, go to Genesis and hang a right all the way to the end. That'll get you there, right? Real quick, since you've got 1 Corinthians held, look back there. 3:13. For the day shall declare it, because it, and that's the work, shall be revealed by what? Fire. What's that fire? Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Who is this? It's Jesus Christ. So then, verse 12, his, Jesus Christ, his eyes were as a what? Flame of fire, right? Okay, well, we don't need to go on. Then I know what his eyes are, a flame of fire. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 13, the middle of it. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Well, then I know what's going to happen then. When we leave out of this world, we're going to go to this judgment seat of Christ. And based upon how we built upon the foundation, the work we did, whether it's good or bad, it's going to go before the fire. What's the fire? It's going to pass before his eyes. And those things that are bad, the wood, hay, stubble, they're going to burn. The good works, gold, silver, precious stones, are going to be passed through the fire, and just like gold. They take gold, they heat it up, they melt it, they scrape the dross off of it. Yeah, pure gold. Same thing with silver. Yeah, silver tried in the fire. So then we go before the Lord, and everything we've done passes before him. So why is giving important? Because giving is part of the works that we're going to do. And I would be remiss, I would be out of order if I never spoke to you and encouraged you about giving. Because once we're saved, it is a requirement and a responsibility for us to give. It's not just whoever wants to volunteer. You are held accountable to give. So, interesting too, look back in Psalms and look in Psalm 34. I know this, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, everybody that has trusted in Jesus Christ, by being in Christ, you are made the righteousness of God. Great verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There you go. You're made the righteousness of God. It's really hard to stand straight-faced here, but hey, I want to enjoy church, okay? I like enjoying church. I could be at home working, you know, but this is a little better. So then, I know this, that when you trust Christ, being placed in Christ, you're made the righteousness of God. So we're all righteous in Christ Jesus. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The eyes of the Lord. What was that fire? The eyes of the Lord. In other words, there's nothing that gets past the Lord in our lives. As much as we try to keep it a secret, as much as when it gets out, we try to twist the account, nothing is hid from the eyes of the Lord, and will be judged for it. So the good works, gold, silver, precious stones. Bad works, wood, hay, stubble. Now, contrary to what some teach, this judgment seat is not a condemnation seat. In other words, people aren't going to go before it as sinners, be judged for their sins, and then be sent to hell. That's the great white throne judgment. That's a total different one that we will not go to. Why? Because rather than a throne that we would be judged at, our sins were judged at the cross of Jesus Christ, where he died for our sins, he paid for our sins, he was buried and raised again for our justification. So we're pronounced innocent by faith in Jesus Christ. So when we go to this judgment seat here, this is one of a reward seat based on what we did as an end result of our salvation. All saved people in the body of Christ will go to this judgment seat. And matter of fact, when Paul rewrote to the Corinthians, he talked about knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. It's going to be a terrifying thing to go before the Lord and be present Him with all these works that we've done. Look in Philippians and turn over in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And you can really, the times that we're in today, you can really appreciate the understanding of what Paul said there. So stand fast in the Lord. Because it's a serious challenge for us to stand fast in the Lord. Verse 2. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I treat thee also, true yoke fellow. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 2, that's two women. They're not of the same mind. When you have two individuals not of the same mind, it's like the fork in the road. You're going to go in opposite directions, and whatever connections there are, they're going to be strained. They're going to be torn apart. Paul said, having your hearts knit together in love. Well, if you have two thoughts going in opposite directions, what happens to the fabric of the knitting? It gets torn asunder, right? So Paul wants them to be of the same mind. On the opposite side, he says in verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Paul had a number of women that took him in to help him. There's a lot of people that want to put a nastiness to this in the documents talking about Paul was a womanizer and, you know, all this other stuff. No, that's not true at all. He had women that saw what Paul was doing, and because of the conviction within them, they came and helped him in many different ways. Then he says, with Clement also, another woman, and with also my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And I think about our church and how we have people who always rise up to the occasion of need. And when there's a need, you know, I mentioned this last night. We talked about it, the Valentine thing. I thank Bonnie for heading this thing up. I mean, she did a lot of work. Debbie painted those things in there. There was a number of people that contributed, but Bonnie spearheaded this thing and headed this up. I mean, that's the type of things of giving of oneself, because it wasn't a profitable thing relative to doing it for a salary, but it's one of those things where we shall all go before the judgment seat of Christ, and our works will be judged. So consider that. And that's what Paul is writing here with these people who help so much in the ministry. And he talked about their names that are written in the book of life, and we'll come back to that, by the way. If you would, go down to verse 10. In verse 10, he said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am therewith, to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What an abused verse 13 is. I mean, it has been worn out with people going with this positive mentality of claim this verse 13 and you can do all things through. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying in this ministry, when I abound because there are those that have given unto me, I can get the ministry done. When I have nothing here, I have a great need. I can get the ministry done. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ,
which strengtheneth me. That's the context of the verse. So he says, and we're going to revisit the verses we read back in verse 10 now. But I rejoice greatly in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now, I'm not sure about the opportunity. I know when Paul wrote to the Philippians, he was in prison. Maybe it was a situation where they couldn't get their collection of both money and goods and food and all that to him. Or they just didn't have, maybe it could have been something as simple as weather prohibited them from communicating unto him, giving unto him. They lacked opportunity. But they were careful for him. In other words, there's a care there, so they were careful. They looked at the circumstances, saw Paul needs assistance, and they contributed, being careful. And then he says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. You may, if you have a pencil or a pen, might want to do a little check mark next to the want. And the reason being is we're going to compare it to another verse in just a minute. All right, so we're going to come back to that verse 11 also. Now go to verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. In other words, Paul suffered. He was somebody that generally you would not want to associate yourself with. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. He was bandied about in all the social circles as an idiot. He's the fool for Christ. You remember that? So he appreciates them associating themselves with him. And communicate has to do with giving. That's what communicate implies. Verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So he didn't have a lot of support, did he? For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That word account is interesting because it has to do with investment, savings, like a savings account, retirement account, may go to your account. Back in verse 3, he talked about whose names are written in the book of life. Isn't it interesting? You've got a name there, and once your name is written in the book of life, you have an account opened up. Now, what's the account all about? It's about the works you do that's going to go in front of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. You have the opportunity right now to sock away as much good works as you possibly can. This is your opportunity to do it. This is it. And so, he didn't desire a gift. It wasn't like he came there expecting them to do anything. It wasn't his desire, because he could have been absolutely broke and poor and get the Lord's work done. He said that in verse 13. But he wanted it done for them, so it goes to their account. It says in verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Let me tell you something, folks. Every time you make a commitment to give for the Lord's sake, guess who stands opposed to that? The devil, right? The god of this world. So don't think giving just goes and it's a beautiful thing. It doesn't work that way. When you give of yourself, it's from the heart. And when you open your heart up and involve your heart in giving, you're putting it out there. And it's a perfect opportunity for the devil to smash it. And that's what he does. We were having a conversation in the car. It was me and Zane, a fellow from Colorado, most of you know. And then Steve, And I made mention, we were talking about just giving in general and stuff being said and things of this nature and feelings hurt. And I said, my motto has always been this. As far as giving and going through this Christian life, you have to be thick-skinned but tender-hearted. I saw a video, wildlife video, this was some time back. They were showing the elephants of Africa, and they had a pride of lions sort of scoping out one of the elephants. And in every case with the pride of lions, you've got the king of the lions. You know, he leads the pack. He is the older and the more experienced, so he leads the attack. And he goes after this elephant and jumps on side of this elephant. You ever see the Velcro balls in your thumb and they just stick right there? You go, bing! This lion jumped on the side of this elephant and implanted all claws and teeth into it. And the elephant never bled because the skin on that elephant is like a foot thick. And ultimately, to tell you the end of the story, the elephant survived and walked away. Thick-skinned, but tender-hearted. That's a fine balance there. And we've got casualties from the church. People who have contributed to the church and did it with a good heart, of which I'm very grateful and thankful. And many times, somebody comes along and makes a comment that hurts feelings. I mean, you have to be a little more conscious of people who do things on what you say to them. Anything anybody does here, it should immediately bring forth a thank you. Not a criticism when they're doing something that you would never do. And so consequently, we have people, and I've tried to go get them back, and it's just tough. As in the attorney term, you can't unring the bell. I can't take the words out of their head, draw it out, and stick it back in your mouth. If I would, I'd do it. You gotta watch how you speak to people. Because this church is gonna exist on people giving. It's not enough for me to just get up here and preach. It's a full operation. And there's gotta be a giving spirit here. If they're not, folks, we'll never ever make it. It's too much for one person to handle. None of the preachers I know run the whole show. They have people in the church that have their eyes of their understanding enlightened and see the necessity involved in what it takes to be a function in the society so we can have people come here, hear the gospel, get saved, and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we're here for. If we're not here for this, folks, let's go to the city parish. Let's go for a bar license and open up a pub. I mean, just throw care to the wind. We're either here for the Lord's sake or we'd just soon serve the devil. There's no in between. It's one or the other. Then if it's for the Lord's sake, and it is, then give where you can give. Because it's not just us that benefit from it. It's you, so it goes to your account. It's all positive. And folks, you'll never get a notice from the Lord that goes, I'm sorry, my accounting just got lost. Like New York Stock Exchange crashes. Where's all my money? Well, we don't have it. Oh, somebody's got it. Well, that ain't working here. Matter of fact, did you ever notice how much he cares about you? And the life you have in Christ, according to Colossians chapter 3, he took your life, which is eternal. What did he do with it? Anybody? He hid it. Ain't nobody getting your life. That's through Christ Jesus. It's eternal. And he secured it. Well, your works are secure too. It's a sure account. Never to be endangered by anybody taking it from you. And you have all opportunity to add to it. And then in verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You might want to take a pen or a pencil and make a little check mark by need. That's two words I noted. two words. Let's compare them. We're going to come to 19. Go back to verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of what? Want. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your what?
Need
and want are two different things. Need and want are two different things. And sometimes we have to have help being told what's the difference between need and want. How many of you that are working want a raise? Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Gonna get an amen.
Whoop, whoop. You want it. How many of you need to eat? Everybody. Need and want are two different things. Paul didn't have a want for the things of the Philippians, but Paul told them, by their charitable giving, the scene of my ministry and the need of my ministry, he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. In other words, whatever they gave for the ministry, God saw fit to give them the ability to continue to give. Obed always said, and at the time, being a kid back in that day, I didn't understand it. It was a new saying to me. He said, you can't outgive the Lord. Y'all remember that? You can't outgive the Lord. I'm like, I don't get that. And it's based on this. Wherever you give, God is going to still supply your need. Whether it's give financially, whether it's give physically, whether it's giving your talent, your skill, your occupation, whether it's hammering nails, pouring concrete, cutting grass, vacuuming this, or putting a check in it, God will supply it. As long as he sees that there's giving, he's going to use you as a vessel to further the ministry. That's a blessed opportunity. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. He's always looking at us. The need and the want are two different things. God will supply our need. So what's happening today is a prosperity message. They're saying what? Oh, you give this and God, hallelujah, is going to supply you with this much. If you send a seed faith check of $1,000 and they pull some obscure Old Testament kingdom message out where it says, I will multiply you tenfold. He goes, see there, God's going to multiply your giving tenfold. And people are just dumb enough to write that check out and send it in and never get it. Then they said, well, they had somebody on there that said they sent $1,000 and it was multiplied tenfold. Yeah, they're staged. They get paid to lie to get your money out of your pocket. It's a sham out there, folks. This is the sure bet, the Word of God, rightly divided, so you can see the opportunity to give. There's nothing free here. And I know the response is, well, salvation is free. And I would amend that statement with, to you, not to the Lord. It's not free to the Lord. What did it cost him? His life. It's not free to God. What did it cost him? His son. Somewhere in the big picture, you always connect the dots that somebody gave. It rubbed me wrong, and I know a number of you, and there are people that are not here from years back, rubbed them wrong years ago. Brother Moore was the forerunner on Bible conferences. You go, time is, well, not elderly, I didn't say elderly, not at Brother Steve's level yet. Hallelujah. You old timers, remember, Brother Moore in the day was a forerunner on conferences. That was pretty much all you had was the conference in October in Pensacola, right? How many people would show up there? A minimum of 400? Packed. Rented the entire hotel. Closed it in, said, I don't want visitors staying here. I want our people. I'm renting your entire hotel. Locked it off. That's right. Go there. You go to the conference. Was there a charge for the room?
No.
Was there a charge for the food?
No.
So then, we had an individual. This is how he promoted it. Oh, you can go. It doesn't matter if you can't afford the room. It's all free. Well, I can't afford the room. It's free. Well, I can't afford the food there. It's free. And it never sat well with me. Never sat well with me. Because I knew at the end of the day, what's free to me cost somebody else. Somebody labored, worked, put forth effort and money to make that happen. Just like our conference. I've already had one person that lives in Minnesota coming to the conference. Oh, yeah. She was ready to book a room the other day. I said, well, not quite yet. And then I had to explain to her, we pay for your room. She was floored. What? Are you serious? I said, yes. I said, it's all paid through free will offerings. We don't put a charge on it, but trust me, there'll be somebody and some people that will break out a pen and a checkbook and write a check. And I'm not saying they're paying for all of it, but they'll write a chunk. You know why? It's happened every year we've done it. And it'll happen again. Why? God is faithful, and guess what? They believe it. They want something put into their account, even though it comes out of their cash account. And then, you guys know this, we're going to start Wednesday prior, and we're busting it from Wednesday to Friday. It takes a lot of work, and when you do it, you don't like people telling you, well, it's just all free. There's no charge for it. But it's applied for those that have a spirit of giving. And by the way, they had two sons. That would sit in the room and rent movies all day and run up a tab. So Brother Moore then, for the next conference, had to amend his thing and said, I will not cover for incidentals in your room. Ordering room service, movies, but it's all free, right? Free. Giveaway. Grab bag. It's not that way. You have that mentality, you show me an individual that has that mentality, I'll show you an individual that don't know how to give. And that's a shame. It's a shame because when you grow up in the Lord, you mature and you recognize it from a mature standpoint that it takes work and labor to get this thing done. And while you're doing it, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Paul amended the giving with that. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You can celebrate it because you're giving. Yeah, it's exhausted. Yeah, it takes you out of your little daily plan. Oh, I wanted to go here, but we're going to the church today. But in the back of your mind, you know this truth, that it's all for the Lord's sake. And that should satisfy the heart that you have for the Lord. Thick-skinned and tender-hearted. Nothing's free. I'll fly away. No charge except Christ, who died for us, was raised by the power of God. And that same resurrection is the power that's going to raise us up. So our flying away, even though we don't buy a ticket to fly, Christ paid for it. And we celebrate it. We rejoice in it. And I hope when that day comes, I hope everybody here flies away because you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you believe He died for your sins, was buried and raised again. And that you know you're going to leave out of here and go be with the Lord forevermore. And you can rejoice with the saints on high as we go, shouting, Hallelujah! It will come to pass. And the next thing is that when you go to the judgment seat, you have good works. Gold, silver, precious stones that'll pass before the eyes of the Lord, which are as a flame of fire. Let's stand and be dismissed. I'm out.